Dear family and friends of St. Kieran's, please join us for our weekend devotion as we affirm that there is no one like Jehovah. Let's pray. Almighty God, in you are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Open our eyes that we may see the wonders of your word, and give us grace that we may clearly understand and freely choose the way of your wisdom. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our reading for today is from 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1 to 14, and I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man, and in high favor with his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man, though a mighty warrior, suffered from leprosy. Now the Arameans, on one of their raids, had taken a young girl captive from the land of Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." So Naaman went in and told his lord just what the girl from the land of Israel had said. And the king of Aram said, "Go then, and I will send along a letter to the king of Israel." He went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of garments. He brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, "When this letter reaches you, know that I have sent to you my servant Naaman, that you may cure him of his leprosy." When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to give death or life, that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Just look and see how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." But when Elisha the man of God heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent a message to the king, "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me, that he may learn that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and halted at the entrance of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go, wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean." But Naaman became angry and went away, saying, "I thought that for me he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and would wave his hand over the spot and cure the leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" He turned and went away in a rage. But his servants approached him and said, "Father, if the prophet had commanded you to do something difficult, would you not have done it? How much more when all he said to you was, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and immersed himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. His flesh was restored like the flesh of a young boy, and he was clean. Just to there, and may God bless his word to us today and always. Corrie ten Boom is credited with saying, "You may never know that Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you have." And in a very real sense, Naaman never knew that Jehovah, the God of Israel, was all he needed until Jehovah was all he had. This was a last resort by a desperate man who had been struggling with an ailment that was wreaking havoc on his life, both physically, socially, and I imagine mentally. The story of Naaman and Elisha echoes the ministry of Elijah as far as miracles go. And we define a miracle as something that goes beyond what is known scientifically and biologically. And in this account, what is clear is that Jehovah is seen to be God not only of the Israelites, but also of foreigners, and ultimately is acknowledged as the only real and true God there is. There is no God like Jehovah. As we visit this remarkable story, remember that whenever we see the use of the word Lord in capitals or small caps in the Old Testament, as in our text, it always is a reference to Jehovah, the God of the Israelites. Note also that the reference in the opening lines in verse 1 to Jehovah giving Naaman victory over Aram's enemies tells us that Jehovah was in control of the rise and fall of nations, including Israel's future. So we read that Naaman had leprosy, a term for several diseases of the skin, not necessarily the infectious disease that causes severe disfiguring skin sores and nerve damage in the arms, legs, and skin areas around the body. Whatever his condition was, it was bad enough to cause him difficulties and affect his quality of life. Elisha, as a prophet in the northern kingdom of Israel and successor to Elijah, probably lived near its capital, Samaria, not in it, because Samaria was also the name of the region surrounding the city. In any case, he gets word that the king of Israel, Joram, it is thought, upon receiving a letter from the king of Aram, has torn his clothes in desperation, because all the king can glean from the letter is an impossible request which in his mind can only mean one thing. Aram is trying to pick a fight, trying to find a reason to invade Israel. When Elisha sends a message and asks the king, "Why have you torn your clothes?" it is really a way of asking him, "Where is your faith?" He then says, "Send the man to me so that he may learn that there is a prophet in Israel." It is worthwhile pausing at this point to note that the king's response stands in stark contrast to the young Israelite girl who served Naaman's wife as a captive. Her concern for her captor and faith in God is somewhat ironic, different from what one would expect. Meaning, for someone whose life had been turned upside down, having been carried away from her household into captivity with no sign of God being present to save or to help her, one might expect a deeply cynical attitude. Instead, we find a person of faith and conviction trying to help her captor. Perhaps we have an opportunity to learn here that God, in his purposes, places his people in situations that they sometimes cannot fully comprehend. While it is likely that the young girl did not view herself as being placed there by God for such a time as that, she was not slow to speak about her faith. Perhaps we, reading the text now, have an opportunity to trust God, to trust that when things don't quite make sense, there must be a reason beyond our own comfort and logical thinking why God has allowed our lives to be so disrupted. For we know that all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purposes. This is from Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Now, to learn that there is a prophet in Israel is really another way of saying to the Israelite king Joram that while you seem to be unclear about the fact that God is present and his hand is on the affairs of Israel, this pagan will see that through his appointed servant, the God of Israel is the one true God, and hopefully you will too. So Naaman is sent to Elisha, and when he arrives, Elisha didn't even bother to come to the door. He sent a message via his servant telling Naaman to wash 7 times in the Jordan River. Of course, along with Naaman, we may think that Elisha was being rude, but it seems that the very reaction of Naaman was the reason for doing so. There are 2 things here that would have detracted from what was about to happen. First, there was no cleansing ceremony in keeping with Naaman's dignified status, no waving of the hand and calling upon God. You see, to engage in that kind of activity would have reduced it all to a magic show, which would simply draw attention to Elisha as a healer, not a man who has God's word and represents God in the moment. Secondly, in Naaman's opinion, the Jordan was completely inferior to his hometown rivers. It was a muddy river that could not possibly have healing properties. And again, no special healing water was being used to avoid making his recovery about someone or something else other than God. Nonetheless, Naaman feels insulted and disrespected, and his pride has been offended by Elisha's apparent offhanded treatment of him. And he begins to head towards home. And I think that we are often like that, expecting God to act in ways that we would like it to play out, and then we're disappointed that things don't go as we pictured it. Perhaps we need to look at things differently. For the second time, it takes servants to speak words of wisdom so that a very frustrated and angry man might hear the word of God to him. They respectfully and sensibly point out that he would have been keen enough to do something difficult, so why not something so easy? Clearly they cared that he struggled with his condition. He had come so far. Why turn away now? And so as we close, in an act of humility, Naaman obeyed the word of the Lord, and as he obeyed in faith, washed 7 times, he was cleansed. God did even more for him, restoring his flesh to its soft boyhood texture. The flesh of this great man becomes like that of a little child, to match his new childlike faith in God. A childlike faith that is reflected in his desire to worship God properly by requesting 2 loads of earth from the land of Israel so that he could worship the God of Israel on his own soil, because of the then held view that no God could be worshipped properly except in his own land. But because we know that there is no God like Jehovah, we know that this is not a limiting factor. For us, finally, we also learn from this account how, when our need is greatest, help may be nearest, and though we sometimes feel our situation to be hopeless, God may well be preparing a way for our deliverance and helping us learn a lesson at the same time to hold on to him by faith. Amen. Let's pray. O God of compassion, through the witness of a captive maidservant, you healed Naaman in the waters of the Jordan. Help us to hear you in the very small ways that you sometimes come to us. Heal us so that we may follow Christ with joy, giving thanks with all our being. To you be glory and praise always, for there is no God like Jehovah. Amen. And God bless you.